Welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Let's talk about Valentine's Day. So when Valentine's Day falls on a Saturday, what you really have is Valentine's weekend, as my wife explains. And that's what this is, whether you're hearing our show on Friday at 6:30 p.m. or Sunday at 3, you're in a special period in which, if you have somebody special you're thinking about, now's the time to show it. And here is what the Writing Center at Ball State University offered in a campus email this week. They wrote, "Would you like to give your coworker, best friend, favorite aunt, neighbor, roommate, sweetheart, department chair, or barista something really good for Valentine's Day this year?" How's that for casting a wide net? Four English professors and some students offered themselves as poets for hire on Thursday and Friday. For a donation to Second Harvest Food Bank, a Ball State poet would write a one-of-a-kind poem for your Valentine. Naturally, we had to talk with these poets for hire.
My name is Todd McKinney, and I have been working this week in conjunction with the Writing Center here at Ball State with the Poets for Hire. They have commissioned the help of some poets to write poems on the spot for people who would like to give them to their Valentines.
This sounds like fun.
It is a lot of fun. I had my shift was this morning, and I had maybe about 8 or 9 requests.
I'm going to guess more women than men.
Yes.
Okay, that's not a sexist judgment or anything, but there's this dimension to this holiday, right? People who are interested in expressing themselves this way.
Definitely an expression and of emotion and gratitude or love, or appreciation for someone in their lives. I think it was probably about 7 women and 1 male, yeah.
Do you talk to them first? I mean, you want to know, who is this for?
Definitely. And my approach was to learn a little bit about the recipient, try to find out some of the unique details about their lives, what kinds of food they like or music, what they like to do, maybe how they met, things like that. And then typically I would write the poem as if I were the person giving it to the recipient. So in some cases, I just sort of assume their persona.
You're like a ghostwriter, a Valentine's Day ghostwriter.
Yes, I guess so, right? And then I had a couple where I kind of backed out a little bit and sort of just wrote more generally about love, using some of the details.
I'll bet there are a lot of people like me who, when they think of poetry like this, they think of Elizabeth Barrett Browning, "How Do I Love Thee?" Mm-hmm. "Let Me Count the Ways." Maybe Shakespeare's sonnets.
Sure, right.
Is that from the standpoint of a modern poet? Is that all old-fashioned? We don't...
From my perspective, yeah. It is a bit, it's a bit outdated. I like the language of the sort of the contemporary moment that captures, you know, details from present lives, or, you know, from lives in the moment, whether it's, you know, thinking about cell phones or baseball games or a certain kind of music on the radio or on the earbuds or things like that. So how can, you know, we incorporate those details from our lives into the writing and sort of express emotions of love or gratitude in ways similar to but different from, you know, Shakespeare or Browning?
Isn't it fascinating that idea of that language would change depending on where you are and when you are and who you are?
Most definitely. Being originally from Oklahoma and brought up in a family that appreciates sort of direct speech, that's the kind of writing I also appreciate. But I've also come to like appreciate, say, the poetry of surrealism, which smashes together a bunch of images or ideas very quickly. And I think combine that with, I don't know, the, sort of the plain spoken creates an exciting poem.
Give us a sample of something. Hey, this is good. This is something.
I think Tony Hoagland is a great contemporary American poetry. One thing that he does really well is combine images with sort of a plain spoken language and, you know, makes poems or emotions that maybe, you know, people aren't always talking about or thinking about accessible to, you know, an everyday reader. You don't have to be a professor or whatever to read and understand the poem. Like, some poems there are, I think, you know, like Ezra Pound comes to mind, or T.S. Eliot, you know, those are poems that, you know, it requires a certain understanding of, I don't know, a lot of literature.
Helps to know the backstory, right, as it were. Yeah.
So this is a poem by Tony Hoagland. It's called Physiology of Kisses. The kiss begins in the center of the belly and travels upwards through the diaphragm and throat along fine filaments, which no forensic scientist has ever been able to find. From the hard flower of the kisser's mouth, the kisses leave the body in single file into the reciprocal mouth of the kiss recipient, which for me is calf. What can I say? My kisses make her happy, and I need that. And sometimes, bending over her, I have the unmistakable impression that I am watering a plant, gripping myself softly by the handle, tilting my spout forward, pouring what I need to give into the changing shape of her thirst. I keep leaning forward to pour out what continues to rise up from the fountain of the kisses, which I also am drinking from. That is a poet named Tony Hoagland. That's called Physiology of Kisses. Just a really powerful poem. I mean, you just can read it and take it in, and you know, you can get the images and the ideas. It's a clear moment. It's lucid and kind of captures that emotion of, like, the idea of love is a communal thing, and we both grow from it in it, right? In a kiss, right? There's two people kissing, and they both are growing from that. They need to give the kiss and receive a kiss. And I think that captures that moment really beautifully. Though it's not a poem that rhymes, it's not in any form, it's in a pretty plain-spoken language.
That is Todd McKinney, an English professor and one of the Poets for Hire, helping write Valentine's Day verse at Ball State in return for donations to Second Helpings. By the way, keep an eye out for the In-Print Festival of First Books on campus March 17th and 18th. They will feature three writers who have just published their first books, an editor from a small press or literary journal for readings, discussions about getting published, and plenty of advice. When we come back, more from the Have Pen Will Travel Valentine Poets for Hire.
Love is a rug, but you better not pick it. Only grub when it's on your mind.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
My name is Allison Nussbaum, and today I'm writing Valentine's Day poems for people as part of a food drive, so I'm excited. I've been asked to write 5 poems so far, mostly for boyfriends and husbands and one wife.
So it's more women than men.
So far, yes.
Is that what you expected?
I didn't really have any expectations, but yeah, I guess I was expecting more gender equality, both of them.
Gender equity. How did you prepare for some? Did you read Elizabeth Barrett Browning and the sonnets of Shakespeare?
When you think about it, what I've realized, it's really a niche part of poetry, right? And so many demands. I've never had to write, like, for someone, and so that's a really new experience.
But boy, if there was ever a holiday for poetry,
that's true.
Valentine's Day would be...
But yeah, it's it, man.
So when people come up, and do you ask them, so tell me about this person, or?
Yeah, that's what I do. I was thankfully part of training is just ask people, like, to describe the person that I'm writing the poem for, and then you try and incorporate that, and I'm still figuring out how to do that, and yeah, just try to get a feel for who the person is from their words. I mean, you can ask for, like, their profession and everything, but you're trying to get, like, the nature of the relationship and what these people will expect from a poem and want to say on Valentine's Day.
Can you think of a piece that you've read recently that you liked, or maybe a favorite poem or something like that?
My favorite poem is definitely Robert Creeley's I Know a Man. It's very short and it's kind of strange, but it's very existential. That's what I really like about it. I almost have it memorized.
Can you remember any of it?
Let's see here.
How does it begin?
As I said to my friend, because I am always talking, John, I said, which was not his name, the darkness surrounds us. What can we do against it, or else shall we, and why not, buy a goddamn big car? Drive, he said, for Christ's sake. Look out where you're going. And that's it. And it's written in an unusual way, because instead of writing out said, he just uses SD. You can see there.
Yeah,
writing.
Yeah.
So I think, and it's really neat to me because I just feel like I'm inside of that car and taking place in this conversation all at once. And it's this sort of deep idea distilled into a couple of lines. And that's why it's my favorite.
What kind of poetry do you normally write?
I usually write like free form, sort of very idea abstract based stuff. So this is a great way to try something totally different.
Poetry is still popular, even in a wireless internet world.
Yeah, but, you know, the more I look at it, the more I'm not surprised, sort of. Because when you consider it, everything is still around today. We still have plays, even though we have television. We still have movies, even though everything's up on the internet. You know, we still have theaters and still have radio, even though we have television and the internet and stuff. So it's like, yeah. I can kind of see things sticking around forever.
Can you imagine poetry done over Twitter or a poem? I'm seeing you're sitting with a laptop and you have a webcam here. A poem delivered as a video to somebody.
That would be really neat. I've heard of poems that are read over a YouTube video about them, and so I think that would be neat. But yeah, using modern day technologies to communicate via poetry, I think would be an interesting take on it all.
What do you learn in poetry classes?
You do have to do it a lot yourself, but there comes that point where you sort of hit your limit of what you can know and figure out on your own, and then you have to kind of look at how, sort of understand what you're doing in a different light other than what you've been able to figure out on your own. And that's honestly why I'm in school, because I feel like I could do a lot on my own, but then there'd be so many things that I would miss without someone pointing them out to me.
Do poems come to you on their own, can you sit down at the keyboard and go, okay, I've got to write a poem now, or does it have to hit you when you're in the shower or out running? Or
they do sort of hit me out of the blue. I'll wake up at night and scribble something down once in a while, but they usually pop almost fully formed into my head, and then I write them down. So obviously writing from someone else's command is totally different, and I think a great way to interact with the poetry just as a form.
Ball State English major Allison Nussbaum, one of the poets for hire, raising support for Second Helpings Food Bank by writing Valentine's verse for donations. We also talked with Professor Liz Whitaker. The question was, what tips would she have for those of us who want to express ourselves? She joined us by a digital connection.
You're right, John. A lot of people freeze up at the thought of writing a love poem or expressing themselves in poetry, because there are a lot of preconceived notions out there of what a love poem is supposed to be. Maybe it has to rhyme. Maybe it has to present great metaphors that the person sitting down to write can't quite grasp in that moment. I think if people want to write a Valentine's poem or card this weekend for a loved one, a great idea is to make a list of the concrete things that they love about those people, moments that they've shared together, or different things about the person that make them so special and unique and a grateful part of the writer's life. Sitting down and thinking about concrete things, and then trying to organize those thoughts into a poem or an expression for that person is a great way to make an abstraction like love concrete, right? When we receive a love poem or we receive a Valentine from someone, to hear that something we do or something we've done, something about us is what makes us so appealing and special, can be really memorable. And if we sit down with the expectation that we want to communicate why and how we love someone rather than trying to figure out what words rhyme and how many lines it has to be, etc., we don't put those obstacles in front of us, we're going to end up with a pretty great first draft. Right? And then a writer can think about how he or she wants to shape exactly what they want to say to the person and make it look more like a poem by putting in line breaks, etc. But it's that sincere moment of sitting down and contemplating what is it about someone that we love, right? That's where the Valentine comes from, right? That moment of worrying about how to express that or get that across to someone. That's what's so treasured and cherished in a Valentine's, that someone sits down to take the time to write for someone else.
Liz Whitaker, one of the Ball State English professors who raised support for Second Helping Food Bank by serving as poets for hire, writing Valentine's verses. We also heard from Allison Nussbaum, one of the students who helped them.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
I'm Mark Neely, Associate Professor of English at Ball State University.
So you were a poet for hire today. What was that like?
I really was surprised at how many customers we had. So the way I did it was I asked each person to give me like three words or three ideas, and I would try to weave them together into this poem. A lot of people were having me write poems for their significant other, their partner, husband, wife, etc., because of Valentine's Day. So it was really interesting to try to write that many poems that fast. And really, it was an honor to write poems about people's personal experience that way. I tried to just write a poem from my experience that somehow integrated a few of the things they'd said. And some of them told me a little story, you know, about their lives. And I tried to get that in the poem somehow, but still sort of say it my way.
Any memorable stories? Did you hear anything that you thought, oh my gosh?
There was a student who was getting a poem for her partner, and she was telling me how they met. And I think that was one of the things she was telling me to work into the poem. And the thing that she said was that they sat across the hall from each other waiting for class in RB and just stared at each other for a couple months. And that was their courtship. So I thought that was pretty interesting and pretty funny. And I tried to, you know, work that into a sort of a funny thing about the Robert Bell Building where we all, you know, which I call home and which our students sort of grow to love, I think, over their years over there.
It's an environment and a ecosystem all of its own, right? So it should be a kind of fertile ground for writing.
I mean, one thing I love about teaching here is just the energy of our students. And I think just doing this, sitting in the hallway for a little over an hour, and also just walking through the hallway when the other poets were writing, seeing the students and faculty talking to each other, making cards, having poems written, sort of laughing about what their poem was about or reading the poems to each other, it really
gets a subject that's been in the classroom and it pulls it out into the world. And
exactly. And that's one thing we really try hard to do in creative writing is get students out to readings, get them out to events, get them to do things like this where they're, you know, where they maybe do have to write 5-10 poems in an hour. What is that like? You know, how does that inspire their creativity?
Is there a direction that your writing has taken recently? You know, the country's gone through such incredible turbulence over the past decade.
Yeah, your question is great because I actually have a new book coming out, and the title of the book is Dirty Bomb. It really considers what this past decade has been like. What is it like to live in this world where we constantly fear terrorism? What is it like to live in this world where the government seems to be watching and listening in on everything we do?
That's got to be a fertile ground for a writer.
It is. And like I said, poetry has to contend with the world that we live in. So the world we live in, these things are very relevant. All those things that you mentioned weigh on people's minds. You know, when we are in the state of sort of constant war, that affects obviously soldiers, their families, but of course it also affects everyone else. You know, that has an effect on the psyche of the general population. And that's the kind of thing I'm interested in my work. And these new poems in the new book really try to consider, how does living in a time like this sort of infiltrate everything, including personal relationships and other things like that?
How long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching at Ball State. This is my 13th year at Ball State, and I taught a little bit before that as a grad student.
So is part of what you do
explain what is poetry and has that changed at all? I mean, there's when you started 13 years ago, rap was around, but if you had been talking about 30 years ago, hip hop, rap wouldn't have been here and social media wouldn't have been here and YouTube and...
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things there. One thing is poetry's been around for thousands of years, and so it has some constants, I think, but just like language, poetry's always changing and evolving. So especially young poets are going to be taking, say, the language of hip-hop and incorporating that into their poems because that's the art that they love, you know. People are writing poems on Twitter now. People are promoting poetry on Twitter now. And also, I think, sort of using the constraints of Twitter, the 144 characters, to sort of make a new poetry out of that. And poets are always using language from all different forms of art, and it sort of finds its way into the poem. So that's one thing I love about poetry. It's always evolving. Nothing you can say, but
you can learn how to play the game. Mark Neely, Associate Professor of English at Ball State, talking about his service as a poet for hire for folks seeking lyrical help for Valentine's Day. And we expanded that topic today to talk a little more broadly, as you heard. To close this up, we asked Liz Whitaker to share one of her love poems. This is called I Hand My Razor to Kevin.
In my shabby apartment, he squats in the blue tub and turns on the rusty tap. My torso bound by brace, I weeble wobble back and forth, struggling to reach the commode. He helps me stretch my shaky legs from the commode to the tub's cold, tiled wall, where he will splash warm water on me and lather the shaved soap with calloused hands. This must be love. Too young to be caretaker, he tends to my calves' curves cautiously. This is the first time I've not pulled my razor up my shins myself. White foam troughs as he works the safety blade with expertise. A man who knows his own face in the dark, who takes one stroke at a time, careful not to cut.
Liz Whitaker, one of the Ball State English professors who raised support for Second Helping Food Bank by serving as poets for hire, writing Valentine's verses. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.